That said, Sean, your console's a piece of shit. And well, guess your games what, you aren't son of a great. Bitch.
Guess what? This is actually very timely. Well, yeah. Maybe it could have been a little bit more timely because I would like to actually have it in hand. But pre-ordered Capri S5, my
oh,
friend.
Did you really?
Yes. Yes. It oh, wow. all it all worked out, man.
Congratulations.
I complained to the proper channels at GameStop. Did nice. We talk last time? I can't remember how long ago this
no,
would have
no,
been.
No, 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 we haven't. So tell everybody your GameStop snafu.
My side of the story. So yeah. What happened was they had a deal that was too good to be true, and mm-hmm. indeed it was, at least for some time. So GameStop, or it used to be called EB Games here, now they're GameStop, sends out an email, and I'm on the list because I like to, you know, obsess about this sort of thing. I want to yeah. know what the new releases are, as if I don't already know what all the new releases are. And they have a trade-in thing. And this is basically what I wait for when it comes to most consoles. Like, I'm waiting for some sort of, like, crazy trade-in deal, which yes. is what happened with my SWOLED.
Same.
It has now happened here with the PS5.
I paid $50 for this SWOLED, and that was
that's
for
really
Metroid.
Really good. Yeah,
and I got, like, the really limited good. Edition Metroid, too, just for the, you know, the shits and the gigs.
All
I'm
the
sorry,
things.
Continue.
No, you're fine. You can. What do you got? What are you drinking there? Is that just the water?
H2O.
Just the water? Yeah. That's actually really smart. You don't want to drink anything carbonated.
No.
And you're sitting there burping on the microphone the whole time. You're trying not to, but like it comes through.
Yeah.
Just that little like in your throat kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it gurgles.
I hate when that happens.
So I've had nothing but issues with GameStop over the last little while. I see this trade-in deal. I'm like, well, this looks pretty good, which was get retail value for your trade-in on your PS4 and whatever version you had. Day one, you get $300 for it. If you had
Holy
a Slim,
shit.
You got $350, right? Like, how do you beat that? Like, I can't sell it for that price, which is usually my threshold when it comes to should I venture on into GameStop. So I'm all in on this thing. I talk it over with the wife. She really wants – this is actually mostly for Chelsea because God knows I'm not playing this piece of shit console. Oh,
all right.
You know?
That's nasty.
I'm just buying it so that I can talk trash about it and say like, hey, I
don't
have
you love? Don't you love when like the fanboys go, yeah, I bought an Xbox. Yeah, it's fucking sucks.
I know. It's so stupid.
it's like you're not proving that you're not biased. You're just proving that you're shitty with money. Welcome
yes.
to the club.
So hard-headed about it all. Yeah, man. It's like this literally hundreds of dollars you could have spent like anywhere else in any case.
Yeah.
Yes. Full retail price, bring in your trade-in. So I wipe my PlayStation, which, by the way, what is the reason this has to take all evening? What is the reason that to initiate or initialize whatever your PS4? It takes forever. Mm. What is it? What are you thinking about?
I don't know. I've done it a few times. It's not
forever. So I couldn't take it in that night because it had to sit there and do its thing. So I had to go in the next day. And apparently that was too long because I walk in and they're like, the promotion ended at 2 p.m. I'm like, what kind of promotion ends it in the middle of the day, in the middle of the promotion? Like, it was supposed to go on for a whole other Sunday. I was there at 5 o'clock on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And so they're giving me this stuff and they're talking to me as if I'm reading the promotion wrong. What ended up happening was they hit a quota and they didn't realize that this like everybody and their cat was going to bring in their PS4s, which come on, this is like the best deal that's ever happened for a trade-in. So of course everybody goes nuts with it. So I have a nice argument with the dude there and he's just kind of like at a certain point I'm yapping at him and he's just staring at me waiting for me to finish. And I'm like, I hate this guy so
Is this
much.
Is this the same guy that was like, oh, you know, working retail sucks, like in front of you or whatever?
No, it's a different guy. That's the whole thing. It's like this whole place is just like, golly, I don't understand it. So I'm just fuming because it's like every time I go in there trying to do a trade-in, it's an issue. And I call to another couple stores because I just don't buy it. It sounds like they're just making this stuff up.
Yeah.
And I call another store while I'm in the parking lot. And the guy's like, hey, man, I'm really sorry, but we just – literally just got an email this morning saying that they're going to stop the promotion in the middle of the day because they got too many and it was kind of insane. And I'm like, that energy is totally appreciated.
Yes. Tell me the truth.
Tell me the truth. Tell me that you're sorry. Tell me that like I should expect for that promotion to continue on.
Yes.
Because that's the email that I got.
Yes.
That guy handled it perfectly. And it's not that complicated. The guy in the store that I just ran out of just... He was like, no, man, like, you can, and he made me take my PlayStation out of the box. He's like, I'll be with you in a second, take it out of the box. And like, my PlayStation is perfect, man. I still have the Nathan Drake collection that came with it. Like, it was, everything is perfect with it. So I take it out of the box, and that takes a little while. And then, he's just like, as if I don't know about the full retail thing that is no longer available, which I don't. I'm just assuming I'm going to get the full price for it. He's like, take it out of the box. Like, how about we talk about how much money you're going to get for me?
Yeah.
So just not cool. I wrote an email, a strongly worded email to the customer service line, and they called me back. And a nice lady named Val talked it over with me, and she was lovely again.
Nice.
She said, I'm really sorry for all the trouble. Turns out this thing was a little bit more popular than we imagined. We will honor the trading because you were there to try to take advantage of this. And for your valuable feedback, we'll give you an extra $25. I'm like, Valerie, that is how you handle this situation.
Yeah. I would say, Valerie, you fucking rock. The other guy could kick fucking rocks.
Valerie, are you single? Like,
because I have a friend.
I have some friends. I would like to recommend you.
Are you desperate?
But yeah, so I went in the next day and talked to the very guy who declined me the very first time. So that's super awesome. Yeah. Like, I'm here and I'm getting $25 more. And the regional manager knows how terrible you guys are because I told her and she gave me $25 to say it. So there. And I basically just got to put the money down towards a pre-order. When they come in, they're going to give me a call. So there.
Nice.
I'm a pony. I'm riding the pony.
Is it a disc or discless?
It's a discless. I could have taken a disc that night. I could have taken it home. But in the Canadia, it's $130 more for that one. It's not just $100. We got the benefit of the exchange rate on the Xboxes for the Series S and X. It actually works out nicely for us in Xbox land.
Yeah.
Not so much for the PlayStation.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So that's me, man.
That's awesome. And I'm just thinking, like, you started beef with the retail employee. Like, they know you and they fucking hate you.
Good. I don't want to go back. Like, this is, like, I can't. But man, my God, like, this is, how can I avoid the trade-in?
Yeah.
Especially for like aging hardware that's not going to last forever. You know, might as well like turn it into like cash or turn it, like, get some value out of it.
That's my thing, dude. Once I'm done with a generation, I don't keep the console.
Oh, it's still do. Well, and so we still, because I'm such an Xbox, I have still another PlayStation.
Yeah.
I have my PS4 Pro with the Spidey on it.
Fake fan. What a fake fan.
I know,
fan,
man. Dude. Like, I just, the thing is, I just collect things at this point. Fair enough. I've got books in front of me I'm not reading. I've got all this stuff.
Hey, have you seen
bought movie tickets. I'm not even going to go to the movie just to stay on brand.
How's Spider-Man? Didn't see it.
Bingo. You know what the best part is? Because I took, what, like 45 minutes to try and find like seats at the back of the theater? Yeah. I didn't even take them. I found the one theater I didn't take the ones at the back. Because I remember there's a certain row in the theater that has, it's for, you know, can I say like for handicapable
people?
There's a bar there. And I like to put my feet up on that bar. Yeah. Yeah. So if you sit next to those spots, they're really great, actually. So I took that one. Yeah, and those obviously aren't at the top of the theater.
I chose, so on purpose, I chose N1 and N2, which are all the way to the left.
Mm.
So, like, I'm watching it at an angle, and you're like, Joe, why didn't you choose center? Because I'm all the way at the top, and now I'm breathing down on everybody. So, nice, like, I'm ruining my chances of getting, I'm limiting my chances of getting Rona, how my brain perceives air to
travel. I see what you're saying. Yeah. I thought you were trying to distribute your breath to the rest of the people, but what you're really trying to avoid is their breath flow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I know I don't have it, so I'll breathe it on, you know, a couple of kids.
Yeah, just shove your whole face full of popcorn and sneeze it.
I'll go on. Articles. Listen, I want to see Spider-Man Super Spreader Way Home.
Super Spreader.
Hey, have you seen the Power On documentary from Xbox?
I did, man. All did you of watch it? I watched
did.
The whole thing. Same. I rarely do stuff like that too. Like I just couldn't stop. Like, I was completely enthralled with it. I will say, I don't know what happened with my YouTube queue, But it went episode one, episode two. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Yeah. And then the next episode is like Don Matrick. I'm like, son of a bitch, they skip a lot, man.
Yeah.
Just the queue kind of messed up. But
what a documentary.
What a documentary. Literally was about to say the same thing. Yes.
Jinx.
Jinx.
So watching it, I was just like, this is a really good, it brought me back to like the old G4 documentaries that we all miss.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like it gave me the same exact vibe.
Well, some of those people were in it.
Yeah. My question to you, good sir, do you think that was all a whole bunch of marketing bullshit? Like, or do you think it was like, wow, the Xbox is actually allowing themselves to be vulnerable in public?
I think I'm going to pick a little bit of A and a little bit of B. I think maybe episodes 5 and 6, the last two, start to go like, look at us, like look like. And also, like, it's a fine line to go like Phil Spencer again. Like, is there some sort of like Messiah complex happening? Like, look at him just as like the savior. So there is a little bit of that. But I really do believe like the first couple of episodes. He's not. I don't think so. All right. I think the first couple of episodes are like really interesting. And actually, I was just listening to Donnie talk about this on the PSVG show. Mm-hmm. That like I love the stories of like they went and stole Windows. Like they were so rebellious. They were so not supported in this thing. And even just to kind of understand how gigantic Microsoft is from a staff perspective, how many teams there are. Nobody knows who anybody is. And they got to go to like this floor, like this section, like all these, like even just networking within the company so they could get the right people at the table to do this thing is bonkers. Like the odds were stacked against them within the own company, let alone once they start to compete with Sony and Nintendo.
Yeah. And so like there are some things where like they also like make a messiah out of Bill Gates, and I'm like, I don't know, in this landscape we don't want to do that. But also it's like Bill Gates wasn't that smart. Like Bill Gates literally just stole
that's quite a sentence.
It wasn't that smart. He literally
make it a t-shirt. Yeah. Joe's face. Bill Gates wasn't that smart.
He just stole Mac OS and then he just kind of rebranded it into Windows and made a fucking killing off of it. And then
dude, he made it on like 12 bytes of memory or something like that. Like, he's pretty smart, man.
Yeah, he's a dumb idiot. It's and then like everybody like big bag Microsoft. I'm like, yeah, because you guys were like a monopoly at the time. It's pretty dangerous, and like look at what we're seeing now. It's kind of
that is crazy. That it's funny because, and you know what the deal was back then? I don't know if you remember that. You were probably like 2 years old at the time, but it was like people were freaking out because like Internet Explorer was baked into Windows, and that was too far.
Yeah.
Like you can't own the OS and the internet. Like that was it. I'm sure there was maybe more to it, but that's what I remember.
Yeah. The good old times. Good old times. But I do like the fact that, it really was like a... So, because it is true. Like, they saw Sony in the living room and they got nervous because they wanted to be in the living room in some way. And you kind of see the proto idea of what we have today with, like, Apple TV and, like, you know...
Oh, yeah.
Fire Stick, like... They definitely saw a blueprint of why this would be popular one day, but didn't have enough faith in it to go, let's go all in. And to Xbox's benefit, I think, because they really got to make their own and craft their own identity. At least as they say in episode 1 through 3, I do give them props for talking about the Red Ring of Death.
Yep.
Though a little bit of that, I also feels of them like, you know, look how good
we were. I don't think so at all. I think one of the most interesting parts about that was like how long it went on without them knowing what was going on.
That's the part I don't buy.
You don't think so? Man, how do you troubleshoot that though?
It's like you're a $1 billion company. How do you not know what's about to go on?
They're still just people. Like I don't know, man.
They're like, we went to see Ballmer, and he was just like, it's okay.
That's not what he said at all. Dude,
make it right. No, he said something along the lines of like,
"I didn't want to do it at all."
He's like, no. They walked up to him and they're just, no. Like with the red ring. He's just like, whatever it is, make it right. It's like, really? No, that is not. I don't believe that's how that went down one bit.
Yeah.
Like,
I wanted more Peter Moore, I will say. Peter Moore, he could just, I could hear that man talk forever and ever and ever. He is just, he's so fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And all the different careers that he's had, like he goes from like, all these different places. And then I don't remember where he was at before. I'm mixing up him and what's his face from Sega.
Oh, Sega. Man. No, that's
no, but he went Moore. To like, he was like Duracell or something. He was with Batteries and some kids stuff before too. And then he went to Sega. Anyways, Peter Moore, I feel like, had a similar kind of path. And then he went on to soccer or football, I feel like. Oof. Yeah, just crazy. Oof. Good for him.
And then the audacity of bringing on Don Matrick.
Dude, I can't believe he showed up.
What a I am weak moment.
He did not have to do that. And there's not a redeeming story for him to tell. It's not like he like did anything after that or like helped pass the baton or anything. He left and went to Zynga and didn't really do anything great there either. But with all that said, I said on the Xbox Drive this week too, like, kudos to him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they paid him to be there. Like, I'm sure he was compensated in some way, but like, he didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
And he put his face in front of the camera to tell that part of the story. And I don't know, like, that's, to me, it's them between that and the Red Ring. I really felt like they were pretty open about like things that they really, really screwed up.
The thing that I did like about that Red Ring, for the most, I did like, joking around aside, how they went into the, like, the intricacies of like that return process and like what it was taking and what it was, you know, mm-hmm. I really appreciated that. I think that was one of the biggest, oh wow, you're really going there. Okay.
Yeah.
And at the same exact time, I think the one thing that I want to know your oh shit moment, because I had two oh shit moments.
Mm.
The part where they bring just Jack Trenton there.
Yes.
I was like, whoa, shit, Jack, you fucking betray us like this. And then when they show the bitch slap, they show PlayStation 4 giving the backhand to Xbox One. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. And they're saying them by names. They're acknowledging them. And then they go even that step further of like, and here's how you trade in your games.
Yeah.
Oof.
And I don't know how much of it is performance, but you see somebody like Aaron Greenberg, who's now in charge of marketing over there, and his like soul looked dead talking about that part of the story. Just like, you know, all the, I don't know if this is necessarily an oh shit moment. One thing I will say though, before I get to my oh shit moment is when the thing starts, there's a guy who's really excited about Xbox, just as the whole like intro kind of like montage kind of ends and then you actually get to the episode. There's a guy who yells Xbox and it sounds like bah, like it's pretty close. It's pretty close. So watch for it.
As you said that, a car literally went,
what the hell was I going to say though? I don't remember what I was going to say. It's gone. Even the more I think about it, it's gone.
It's gone. Yeah. I do like when they talked about Halo and how much that game meant.
Damn. Halo 3. Dude, even the lead up to it and Joseph Staten with like, and where he all came from, like all these people 20 years old starting in the business and just kind of like sticking with it the whole time was actually really neat to see.
Also, it's just like, it goes to show, man, if you're a nerdy white guy in the 90s, they will hire you.
Yeah, you're set. Just walk in. They won't even check ID.
Yeah. You got jeans and a shirt? Okay, here's your ID badge and a $100,000 job.
Oh, I remember what I was saying. There's a couple things that I didn't know necessarily. I knew that, like, Sony was threatening the living room, and that was one thing. But I didn't know that they were touting the PlayStation as more of, like, a PC killer, that you wouldn't need... Like, I guess it was all wrapped up in the same sort of pitch, but I had never picked up on that before.
I think they were selling it back in the day of like, oh, look at what it can do. It's almost like a PC to kind of sell like people on, like, it's an entertainment thing. Yeah. So that documentary, really interesting. I really liked it. Enjoyed it. Oh, did I
you
did.
You said you did? Oh, you're
yeah. Okay, I don't know why. And then they're like, and then Phil Spencer came. Oh,
yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, and I wanted to know, like, you got to see every nitty gritty detail about like Seamus Blackley and everybody putting together.
That
like,
was the, really, you know, fucking cool.
All like the prototype and how they beat the Windows CE team and all that stuff. Like, that's great. You don't see anything really about, like, tell me how the backcompat thing came together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, basically, once you hit Xbox One and the Don Matrick stuff, then you got a lot less of the behind the scenes kind of stuff. And I would have loved to see, like, what did Jason Ronald, like, who came to Phil and said, we need back and Pat?
Yeah. And I think that's where, I think once the Xbox One stuff happened, that's where this became PR.
Yeah.
And a little far bit. Less interesting.
Well, and it's far less viewed. Like I was saying again on the Xbox Drive, I feel like the first episode when I watched it had like 300,000 views on the first episode. Mm-hmm. Second episode was like 80,000.
Fair enough.
Which is not like nobody's watching it, but I feel like some people didn't know that there was more. Like, because I mean, even that one story is like it's pretty compelling stuff too. Yeah. So
I really liked it, man. I really hope, and it would never happen, that PlayStation would do that.
You imagine? Yeah.
But that
they don't have to. This is you just put this as part of the sort of desperation that Xbox has right now. Mm-hmm. There is in a positive space as they've been in probably 10 or 15 years, but they're still being outsold and all the other things. Like there's still deals that are happening over in PlayStation that Xbox would love to get, like Final Fantasy 16. I think yeah. Xbox would have loved to at the very least have that cross platform. So yeah, like there's still a long way to go, and I think this is another sign of that. Even Game Pass itself is a sign of like they're still not in first place.
Yeah.
They still have to do what they're doing with their first party games.
Yeah. Still not making money. That's what I've been told.
Absolutely not. Absolutely oozing cash. Just ridiculous. Yeah. They're like, hey, man, at least we don't have to fix consoles anymore, so exactly. We might as well just lose money in another way. So there's that.
Hey, let's transition a little bit into Spartacus. Spartacus.
Are you not entertained?
What do you think this service is going to be, Sean?
It's not what you want.
That's what I've been saying.
I think, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. I always try to maybe set my expectations just a little lower than they should be. What it should be is probably not what we're going to get. And maybe that's the discrepancy I'm kind of trying to describe here a little. But being kind of a dink about it.
No, I think everybody wants the answer to Game Pass. And I think it's going to be not the answer to Game Pass, because I don't think their games are going to be day and date.
Yeah, I think they could just put the things together.
Yeah.
Like, because they have Now and Plus and they're separate. They could just, like, put them together, let you download things or more of them that might become more central. Like, that was such a big deal when Game Pass first launched. That was their differentiator, was that it wasn't streaming. You downloaded the things. And for a lot of people, like, for me, I was like, I want that. And then they kind of added on to that with the day one stuff. And like, you'll get Sea of Thieves and State of Decay 2. And Luke Lore's like, and Crackdown. And Luke Lore's like, yes, I'm in. And I'm like,
he sucks so bad, dude.
Guys are awful to each other.
Yeah.
But is there the three tiers? I don't pay attention to PlayStation.
Apparently there's three tiers. And the way I kind of gleam off the three tiers is kind of like similar to like Xbox has. Xbox, you know, Xbox Live Silver, you got Game Pass, and then Ultimate. That's how I kind of see it.
Oh, do you think like they go multi, like platform? Like, is there a PC thing side of this? Were you getting PC games as well?
No. So here's what I think Spartacus is, right? It is legitimately Disney Plus. You get some games, whether they're indie or second party, on this service. You get some indie games day and date, you know, alongside that. And you get the back catalog. You get the nostalgia. You get your PS1 games. You get your PS2 games, PS3 games. And they trickle in every month. And then you also get your PlayStation 4 games as well.
Yeah.
With, again, some like PlayStation 5 or second party games being day and date as well, but not all of them. Yeah. Like, I think any game that has a multiplayer focus from PlayStation will be in that service for free. But anything like A Last of Us Part 3 or like, you know, Horizon, whatever they're going to call that next one, that's going to be paid for. But with an asterisk, and this is what I would actually really want. It's them going, okay, so Horizon's usually $70. Every PlayStation first party game, you get, you know, 10, 15% off. And it cuts the price down to $59.99. And it's the illusion of value. And then going, okay, well, you know what? There's 60. Okay. Sure. Like, if I get a permanent PlayStation Plus savings from the service, that's attractive to me. And then eventually over time, those games will trickle into that service.
Yeah.
But
I feel like the tiered system is something that people, when they think about it, maybe for a couple seconds, it sounds like something they would want. Mm-hmm. But we've watched Xbox trip over themselves in the past over messaging. And I think that like tiered stuff is harder than people give it credit for.
Yeah.
Like I think it's really difficult to message exactly what you just said. If, like the top tier is like this and you're going to get the, and it's probably great value, yeah. But it's like, it's really hard to differentiate those things. I think
if the tier system is, hey, one tier, the first tier is PlayStation Now, right? $10 a month. The second tier is PlayStation Plus, which is $60 for a year. And then the third tier is we're merging them together.
Yeah.
To make the Platinum Pass.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. That makes sense.
I think that makes more sense of merging those services together and then offering you bonus value on top of that. So that's so
if
they what
put Plus and Now together, is it just PlayStation Plow? Is that the deal?
Oh,
Plow. Mr. Plow, that's my name. That name again is PlayStation Plow. I'm old.
Is that a South Park reference? Know.
That's a reference. That's the Simpsons. Oh god,
Simpsons wasn't that great either.
So I think you are onto something on that yeah. front. Like you kind of have to you have to abandon what you have right now, but still like the three things is not in addition to
yeah.
a PlayStation Plus and a PlayStation Now. It's just get rid of those things. Baseline's got to be PlayStation Plus essentially. Yeah. So online playing.
Yeah.
A couple games a month that you get to keep. The next step up is that plus streaming games and PlayStation Now that you understand. And then is the third option day one stuff?
No.
You don't think they'll ever do that?
They will not do that until those sales really diminish. To me, I really think they're going to really take a cue from movies where they see like, okay, so we could sell this game for a year and then, you know, look at how that tail kind of slowly dies, and then once the tail dies, go okay and put it on the service.
Here's the thing that I think is being forgotten, and I think Forza Horizon 5 was an example of this. Mm. Is that people think that 100% of the user base is on these subscriptions. So people think when they think Game Pass, because it's all anybody talks about is Game Pass, and people yeah. think that every single person who's on Xbox in the Xbox ecosystem is on Xbox Game Pass, therefore zero people are buying Forza Horizon 5.
Sure.
And what we saw from NPD is NPD? Yes.
Yeah.
We have a political party here called NDP, and it always really? Trips me up. Yes, the New Democratic Party. It's okay. Anyways.
Please don't get NPD. Political. Please, for the love of God, don't get political.
You would love NDPs. Oh, yeah? You would love them. Yeah, okay. They're your party. You would, yeah. yeah. They're orange in color. Anyways.
Oh, YOLO, blaze it.
Yeah, they legalize it, man.
We'd, oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good on them. Maybe. Yeah, I'll vote for them.
What the hell was I saying just now? Oh, everybody thinks that everybody's on this Game Pass thing. Zero people are buying the games, but it's not the case because number three or number four was Forza Horizon 5 behind Madden, Call of Duty, and whatever the hell, like the top three that are going to be there anyways.
Yeah.
Like Forza Horizon 5 sold exceptionally well, really, really well. So they got both. And I'm very curious to see if Sony like might look at that to say, you can charge a premium for the day one stuff, and then you'll still have your Kyle Stevensons of the world who want to buy the thing, to buy the physical version. I think that they're saying it's not a cannibalization 100%. I actually think it's additive.
I just think I think whatever PlayStation chooses, they have the data in front of them because of MLB The Show. So they'll probably look at that going, okay, so how did this affect it versus previous years? And
now God of War is on Xbox. That's what it's going to do.
Yeah, and then like put God of War on Xbox and PlayStation's dead and the console wars are over.
That's right.
No, yeah. But like that's what I kind of think. If they don't do it, it's probably because they look at their portfolio and they go, this is not a one-to-one, so we don't think it's going to benefit us all too well. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to do it. And that... Because as much as I'm like, yeah, Forza Horizon sold extremely well, still a multiplayer-focused game, right? And that base is going to be around for a minute.
Yeah, it's going to – like you're going to have engagement on that game for a long time, which I think actually makes it more of a fit for Game Pass more than anything.
Exactly.
But the game itself just has a lot of value, no matter how you slice it.
If I'm taking a look at like something like a Ghost of Tsushima where it's like a single-player-focused story – how do you keep that person engaged to that service for X amount of time? That's the only thing I get.
You just dump out another game. You have to push out another game. You have to schedule another game after that. Like, I think the other side of it too, that like PlayStation's actually better set up for a system like this.
Oh, sure.
They have way more users. Like, I really do think that they've got, even if you were to count all the PC people who are on Game Pass, fucking or anybody, dorks. When you think about the Xbox ecosystem, yeah. And then you think about all the people in PlayStation land, I think there's more people in PlayStation land.
Sure.
I really do think that. And if you get I think they could crush Xbox with this subscription service, in which case the numbers might even work out to their favor. There's, I think somebody had said that the magic number is like 50 million subs at this number. If it's $15 a month, that somehow like creates some sort of sustainability.
Yes.
And that's just guaranteed stuff. And I think if you're a Sony fan, which I'm just jumping on over. Okay.
That's right. Console wars are over.
Coming on in.
Sean's with
us. Only took two episodes. This is our first exclusive one too. You can be weird. You can be a weird Sony, those weird kind of studio things that we've come to love over the years. Like, you can have those things. So I think as Sony, like, you kind of want this. And also, then we just have to watch all the PlayStation pundits just kind of eat a bunch of shit just because they've all been saying how unsustainable it is.
Well, it is a question because, like, real talk, Phil, like, I hate coming in here, but I'll just dip my toe in it for a second. It's a yes or no question, Phil. It does Game Pass make money? And when you go, don't worry about that. He has an obligation to his shareholders. Obviously, Game Pass doesn't make the money he wants it to make. It's not profitable.
Yeah.
Now, depending on how profitable, whatever, and what their plan is for it, like, we want to bleed. Like, for example, Disney Plus, remember when it was like $5-6 to begin with? Yeah. And that was just to get people through the door. They were losing money on that just to build up that sustainability, that magic number, and they hit it immediately, and then they doubled the price. That's what Microsoft's probably looking. $15 is a growth number, and it will go up in time once they hit that magic number.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, I take a look at what PlayStation's doing in PlayStation land and just go, don't get me wrong. I would love all their games to come day and date, but they are really not that company.
Yeah.
They are not. They are the safe bet. Like, they are watching Microsoft make all the mistakes. They're watching them make, you know, all the good decisions and kind of sitting back going, okay, we see where this is going to be in 5 years. We want to be on here, but we want to make sure that we're going to do this right. And we're going to do it the safe way. And I do think that is the Hulu or the Disney Plus equivalent to Microsoft's, Netflix.
I'm wavering over here because I think you're right when Sony is on top and seemingly unstoppable. then you're right. They don't really take a whole lot of those risks. But at one point they spent a couple of $100 million on Gaikai.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, did that turn out the way they wanted to? And probably not. And at what point do they change course on that? Do they drop it all together?
At what point are you gonna thank us for creating the original Game Pass?
You're welcome. I mean, thank you. It never really worked.
I mean, it was on TVs. It was on tablets. It was on phones. Don't ask questions on the Vita. Don't ask questions of if it worked great.
Yeah.
It was there. They had a banner.
It was as good as the Sega Channel.
Exactly.
It was totally fine.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I do think that whatever this is, this rumor, I think it might be related to the Gaikai situation.
Yeah.
Because I think it hasn't worked out the way that they wanted it to. And that was their move for the future, I think. And it wasn't a big enough move, first of all, as we've seen. If you're really going to make a move for something like to dominate this stuff, like, sadly, it takes more than a couple $100 million, which is insane.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting off the top of my head how much they purchased that for, but I feel like that was their move.
Yes.
So they just can't sit on that any longer because it's not working.
Well, I mean, they got that Azure deal with Microsoft. Mm-hmm. So they're shaking hands. And again, they're taking a look at what Microsoft's doing, going, okay, because I'm with you, Sean. I have no doubt in my mind when this service goes live, it's gonna be a great fucking service.
Oh,
like
definitely.
Whether it's a true Game Pass competitor or not, take a look at what PlayStation Plus is. To me, I'll be a fanboy over here. Yeah. It kicks the shit out of whatever
Plus
you guys have.
Plus is unreal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no, you're right.
The value that you get out of PlayStation
Plus.
Like
you guys. Yeah. You know? Well, but that's guys, fine. It's part of the show.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. We're going to have to start doing this on video and we each wear jerseys.
Yeah. A little ding here or there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like when PlayStation wants to get into it and create a service, they can create something compelling and competitive. It's just when they're playing it safe, like with PlayStation Now, you kind of just see them, we're going to try, but not very hard.
They don't do things first very well.
No.
Right? Like Xbox has laid out the playbook for them. This is how you do it. And I'm sure they will apply the PlayStation sort of polish to it with all the games that come along in PlayStation, which is undeniably an amazing catalog.
Yeah.
And it will be great. And but like, they never could have come up with it on their own. They never would have done it first.
No, absolutely not. And like, for example, this is going to be set on a future trophy room. When you take a look at what their studios are doing right now, it seems like outside looking in, they're multiplying within those studios. So
what about the movies thing? Didn't they do something with movies recently? Yes. Or did they get rid of all that stuff? Is that going to be part of this?
So yeah, they have a movie division, which works in tandem with the movie division of Sony.
Man, if they bring movies and TVs and TVs and movies and sports into this thing,
isn't that going to be ironic? Gosh,
that'll be the third tier.
Ironic, but no, the Uncharted film is the first PlayStation production,
right?
Yeah, and then Last of Us is the second one. But when it comes to what PlayStation's doing, they're like, okay, Santa Monica, you're making another studio in there. You're making another team. Like Corey Barlog is the creative, he's not director, he's like the creative lead of that studio.
Yeah.
So like he's overseeing multiple projects. Naughty Dog has multiple projects. Was it Guerrilla Games has multiple projects, both of which they've been working on for a while now. So we could assume, you know, SOCOM's gonna be out in a minute. And
Insomniac's due for another 3 or 4.
Insomniac. Real talk, I've heard like they will not disclose how many fucking
that's crazy.
Employees they have. It's like, what? So yeah, it seems like, you know, from what I was aware of Insomniac, they were a really big studio to begin with. And then they've just gotten a fuse with a shit ton of cash. So like,
yeah,
I'm thinking they got like 3 or 4 teams in there.
I mean, good for them. That's the team you want to see that to happen with, though.
Absolutely.
But then you get...
That's organic growth, Sean. I know you're not used to it.
We have no idea what that means, yeah.
Neither do we.
Well, there's all those other purchases that have happened that, you know, it's fine because they also do these other things. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to get into that stuff, but damn it, I was going to bring up... it's gone.
Sorry.
My brain is just... It's not good to know. It's okay.
It's okay. Because you Xbox rot your brain.
No, I was looking at Spider-Man but, pictures over here.
But you know what I'll get back to is this: their studios.
Oh no, Days Gone. Days Gone was what I wanted to talk about. Days Gone doesn't do so great, and they just like they turn on the studio. I guess maybe it's a couple in a row. And the point about recurring revenue is that it helps sustain situations like that. Like whatever Corey Barlog is doing, like it better be amazing because it sounds like it's costing $1 trillion.
Yep.
And like you just mentioned Insomniac getting infused with all this cash. That better all work out because you have that first weekend of sales and like that's it, man. They don't have a way for like a reserve of cash to be sort of built up really.
Well, think about it like this. And again, this is probably why PlayStation doesn't want to do day and date. Take a look at Miles Morales. That game is constantly on like the top 5 or top 10 every single month.
Yeah.
And so they take a look at like, if we just have a partnership here, a partnership there, make a Star Wars here, make a, you know, Marvel game there, we don't need to put this day and date. We just really don't.
They really don't. They could do something like EA, which actually would work out really nicely for them. Yeah. They could have like a trial period maybe, or, and then just a vault. So a game is a year old and like now
exactly.
It's in there.
It enters. And that is exactly what I think they're going to do. It's like, and it's been a year and a half put in the vault.
Yeah.
And it's been 2 years put in the vault. Oh, you're a multiplayer you know, game like SOCOM. All right, come here. You're Twisted
like
Metal.
The new version of like PlayStation, the collections that they do, like the, what are they called? The Platinum Collections. I can't remember if that's the word. Like, the
Greatest Hits
and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's yeah, what I think this that. Is going to be. That's what and I really think this is going
to
be.
It has to be something that is also familiar to, like, they don't want to introduce something too drastically crazy for PlayStation gamers because you guys will lose your minds. Like
This already excites me.
Like, even if it's like something like the Vault kind of deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm not of the mind of like, dude, if a new thing is out, I will pay for the new thing. I don't care how I get that thing. Like Halo, yeah. I didn't have to pay $60. Whoop-de-doo. I would have paid $60 for it. Returnal, I paid $70 for. Cool. Like, I don't care. I want to just, money's no factor for me, Sean. I don't know if you know this. Okay. I got a new job. Yeah. And I just wave it around. So what I'm saying is, like, I'm really shitty with money, and I just don't care as long as I have it.
That's, at least you said it.
Yeah, but, like, I just, like, I don't care how I engage with it. I just want the thing. And they know that. Yeah. They know that we're weak. Mm-hmm, so, like, like, honestly, Stalker 2, they could have put those NFTs in there. People would still play it.
Oh, you don't need, now you just lost all the people. They're all gone. They're what all going to turn on you. Don't say, you can't even say
the letter. We can't announce our NFT?
Patreon exclusive. You have to be a patron first, actually, in order to buy our NFTs. First, you have to be a paying customer to be a paying customer.
Okay, okay. Honest to God, what if I just get Diego just to make us a picture and go,
yeah,
here is the trophy room / Xbox Drive NFT. We don't know what this is, neither do you. Patron at $1.
We should actually rename, instead of this podcast being called the Console War Room, we should name it so that the acronym is NFT. like Never Fight Together is the name of the show. So it's NFT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People hate this stuff, man. I lost followers for just saying I want to learn about it.
Oh, really?
I was on Twitter. I just want to learn about it. I see everybody mad about it, which makes me want to learn about it. And everybody's like, it's theft. It's all this stuff. I'm like, okay, I know that part.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part I know. But it seems like some pretty smart people are saying that maybe we should pay attention to this. And I'm intrigued by that.
Yeah.
There's probably some there's credit card theft. But y'all have credit cards too, man. There's identity theft. Like, you still use all that. Oh,
trust
crap,
me. We go on a rant. We've already recorded a future trophy room. No.
Why'd I even do it? I've opened my hand too much, but in any case. And then meanwhile, you know what Game Pass has really done for me is allowed me to spend hundreds of dollars on Nintendo. That's all it did.
It really is. That's a lot of shit behind you, bud.
It is ridiculous. Well, and this stupid, like, my OLED is right here. This is like, doesn't happen if I'm spending $60 at a time on Game Pass or on Xbox games. Like, there's no way.
So I want to talk about the next thing. I want to close this show out with our last topic. Sean, have you seen this?
Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's more like, have you seen about this? Have you heard about this?
Have you heard about this?
You guys have been a terrific audience.
Terrific audience.
I love that episode of South Park.
The fact that he's a cripple who wants to be a stand-up comic is the greatest
premise. I did not catch that until now.
Oh my God, I love it. I love that Real show talk, so much.
Timmy is my favorite character.
Yeah.
And Butters. Timmy and Jimmy. Sorry, Jimmy.
Timmy is the one who screams, Timmy!
Yeah.
And Jimmy, like, they're both the same name.
Yeah. Because Jimmy's just, like, a sweet, like, he's the only sweet person in that town. And Butters as well. But, like, Butters has that dark side.
I know. Oh, my gosh. Know? That show is excellent. Yeah.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent, man.
Yeah. Halo. You love Halo.
Yeah, man.
Game of the year, man.
I mean, not mine, but yeah.
Yeah. It's not your game. Oh, yeah, Returnal.
Can I just say, it's fine that Halo doesn't have to be the game of the year for me, and it's fine?
It's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Apparently not to most people. Most people say I have to like Psychonauts 2, which I didn't like that much.
Yeah.
And I have to love Halo Infinite because I've been posting a lot about it.
Yeah.
And I love Halo Infinite. I just like Returnal a little bit more.
Yeah.
God forbid.
I mean, Returnal is like actually original. Like, I feel like that has to come into the equation at least a little bit as well. Well, we talk about game of the year.
Honestly, what the reason why Returnal is up there for me, I said it a bit on the awards, but I'll sketch this out for you here now, is it really opened my eyes to roguelikes and how much I fucking love a good rogue game.
Yeah.
And it opened me up to a genre that I was not familiar about. And I'm totally in on now because of this game where Halo's like, it's a really good multiplayer shooter. Really good. But I've always been into multiplayer shooters. And so that's kind of my reasoning as to why Returnal is my game of the year, because it is a fantastic bullet hell by Housemarque. They deserve a lot of recognition as well. They interest me into a genre I never knew I loved until then. And then, you see me playing like Hades and like understanding supremacists of Deathloop. And I love Returnal a little bit more.
Hades was my on-ramp into this old place, this whole rogue thing. And I was just screaming every time that I was listening to a PlayStation podcast talk about Returnal before it came out. And I'm like, why aren't you guys more excited about this? This is the one. Yep. Be excited. Like, Housemarque is getting their shot, and this is a big deal. And I basically judged every single PlayStation podcast that I was listening to who was not celebrating Returnal before it came out, you know?
But
that was a huge deal. But Halo, like, they needed to land it, and they did it pretty well.
For
like,
the most part.
You can see the sacrifices, but, man, if you can imagine how hard it would be to make a game and the choices that they had to make, I feel like they could not, because you can't, the option is not 100% completion. Mm-hmm. That much is obvious. So they had to make decisions on, like, okay, so what pieces of the pie are we actually going to leave here? I feel like they made the right choices. Like, they said no co-op. That stings, but it didn't take away from my experience necessarily. I would like for it to be there, but, like, the game works. Like, you kind of have to think about, like, for every, like, feature or something, like, if you had a bigger map, or if you had co-op or whatever else that you say is not there, then you start introducing Cyberpunk 2077 type issues. I'd take what they gave us 1,000 times over, man.
Great point.
Like, they made the absolute right choices there.
Yeah.
Because the game works.
And it works really well. Now, I do have some problems with some of the aspects of shooting. And
How dare you?
And how I've turned a corner and some guy still has shot me in the fucking head somehow. there is
magic bullet.
There is like JFK. I think there is a kind of JFK thing, because there has been times where I shot a corner of a building and still gotten a headshot.
There's another shooter.
Like, it literally happened to me today. Yeah. You think there's a grassy knoll in some of these maps? We don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, no, I like Halo Infinite a lot. It is, I think, in the grand scheme of things, of, like, you know, where I'm ranking, it's my third favorite game I played this year. There's a lot of great games this year.
Can I pose something to you about the Halo kind of situation that we're sitting here, that we find ourselves in? I think Halo is benefiting so much from all of the goodwill work that Xbox has done over the last 2 years that I think if they launch this game in this exact same state as it is now, everything's the same, like, just put it in 2019, it does not get this reception.
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
Huh.
I think that there's so much, I think there's other factors that come into play when it comes to, like, the narrative, the like, general reception, than anybody wants to admit. I think that the coolness factor has to be a thing. I think that the space after Master Chief Collection and Halo 5, like, the way that those were received when they were first launched, you needed space after that. You needed to miss Master Chief for enough time. You needed 343 to regain some sort of clout again. Mm. I think Xbox and 343 have regained that, and I really do believe this. I think that, like, it became cool again. But it, like, because people don't think, really, when they think about when they put forward an opinion about a thing like as monumental as Halo, they feel and then they speak. And I think they were feeling not so hot about Halo before.
I actually think you're right, because I think taking a look at, like, Halo Infinite,
there's a lot to pick apart on this one, man.
Yeah, I think time has passed for sure. And if it came out, let's just say it came out great.
And you had to pay for it, $60.
Well, knock off. but no, like, if it came out at launch, just because there's less Xboxes around, I think we'd be looking at more of the Xbox One comparisons of these games, not so much the Xbox Series, you know, versions of these games. And yeah, we miss it. You know, Call of Duty missed this year.
Yep.
Battlefield fucking missed the board this year.
Well, and Call of Duty, is it the game or is it the context and landscape around Activision?
A and B.
or both. Yeah.
Because Joseph Yadin literally put out like Warzone is in its worst shape yet. He's like putting up photos of like textures are just literally not popping in. Oh, and it's Yeah, like maybe if they didn't sexually harass their employees, they'd still be working and not maybe walking out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the game would be looking nice. So it's like almost like if they take responsibility for their leadership's actions, boot that leadership and create and foster a healthy work environment, maybe these people will make good games. Nonetheless.
Yeah. How dare you?
How dare you? Like Halo has really done so well because Black Ops was fine. I know some people didn't like it much, but like
I didn't like it.
Multiplayer I liked. Yeah, it was a solid experience that year. So I think because, you know, Halo has come out to like such little resistance, and the middle fingers are up to like Activision, EA that have botched these games so bad.
Yeah,
Halo. There is so much time to celebrate it, and because it's in December, you have so much time to celebrate this game.
Who knew December would actually work out for them in that way? I was not expecting that. I thought that was a mistake. I thought they should have tried to make it work earlier. It does seem like they worked on Halo for every millisecond they could have before releasing it out to the world. Like they took every possible move. There's still like the what did the playlist just happen for Slayer for multiplayer? I hear you don't like Oddball all too much.
You know, if my teammates would hold the fucking ball, yeah. That's great. No one gives a shit. Halo is not tracking your KD. No one cares.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pick up the fucking ball. All right.
Sorry. It's an interesting thing, man. And it's here to stay. I think that's the other thing too. It doesn't need to necessarily do what a few of the other Xbox games have had to do over the last couple of years. It doesn't have to do what Sea of Thieves did, although it will. Sea of Thieves started out and everybody complained that wasn't really feeling all that complete. Luke Lore, Chris Johnson, they're all like, oh, this is game of the year. I don't understand what anybody's complaining about, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But it had to really like turn itself around on even just a general perspective look. And I don't think Halo is quite there. People are generally pretty positive about this.
Yeah.
I would say. And it's only going to get better is what I'm really trying to get at here, is they will add more things. The co-op will come, Forge will come, all these things will, like more content, of course. Sure. And they're starting in a really good place, and Halo will be here this time next year, and we'll be talking about whatever we're talking about with Halo next
year. Whatever next expansion's out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I talk about that story? And would you want me to start with the unpopular opinion or the popular opinion?
That story? I don't even know what you're talking about.
The story of Halo Infinite. The single player.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. I really like Halo Infinite's story.
Me too.
Best Halo story by far because it's personable.
Better than Reach, you think?
Absolutely better than Reach. Because you're breaking it down. It's between, from a longtime fan, it's between the relationship you had with Cortana, right?
Yeah.
And it's really just, you know.
Are we in spoilering? Do we need to warn people?
Well, in Halo 5, Cortana's gone somewhere.
Yeah.
And in Halo Infinite, it's about where has Cortana went?
Yeah, there's a lot of off-screen stuff that do I need to read a comic book or something or like hear
I think they do a terrific job though, because there's books and comics that lay out what has happened. And they illustrate that in the game extremely well.
Yeah, there's one particular sort of like hologram that shows up and kind of shows what she's up to. And it's like, oh snap. And I kind of wanted to, like, they couldn't really explore that story, I don't think. They needed to get to this game.
Yes.
They needed to get to Chief and Weapon and all this stuff. And they need to space themselves out from Halo 5, which is too bad because, personally, I love Halo 5. I actually really like that. But I never got to see what happened immediately after Halo 5's ending.
If this game would be what Rise of Skywalker could have been if it stuck its landing. It did what it had to do to fix what the fans didn't like from the Last Jedi. So like that's what I kind of feel like Infinite is for the most part. Story elements are superb.
Yes.
Master Chief is still very stoic, but they do a great job at making him say the right things. There's a good line about failure.
He's very vulnerable, man.
He's pretty damn vulnerable. And there's there's some certain pauses that he takes. You're like, ooh, Master Chief, okay. Really? Okay. He has a job of being my dad. You know, a stoic dude. It's amazing.
His posture is something else because you don't see his face. Like, how does he emote ever? But sometimes it's just like he's the stillness.
Yeah. Okay, here's the things I didn't like about the game. The single player. Asherim?
Yeah.
Ains does not like this because he is the best villain that Halo has gotten. Or sorry, second best villain that Halo has had. Asherim. Brute.
I know who he is. I'm just trying to think of who else. Yeah.
Who's the better villain? The other villains. The Halo writers.
Oh, yeah. That is. I just walked right into it.
Dude, like, the story's always been so convoluted and so it always takes me out of it. Just tell me the simple story. And this is what Halo Infinite does so well. It's like, tell me a simple story about just a boy and a girl. And
Asherim's, it's about to get complicated at the end. Like, whatever they're doing.
Oof. I'm excited. So, like, Asherim has a few things of, like, he's ushered into the seat of power that there could have been more, like, are you actually capable of being in this seat of power? And this, you know, the mantle of responsibility you have. I would have liked to see that a little bit with him. But he was just like a, so I'm a bad guy, and you're going to kill me at the end type of guy. He was kind of a weakish villain. Same with the Harbinger. She was kind of convoluted. I didn't know what she was up to.
Me neither. Yeah.
And
who's the guy they killed off in Star Wars everybody's mad about? He never did anything. Snoke? Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Snoke? Yeah. I nailed it. But Snape was Harry Potter.
Yeah, but like we didn't know
like just wasted. Like could have been something. And you're right. But like Squid Girl maybe could have been something cool.
At the same exact time, they didn't need to be these big bulking villains because you saw. Here's the first. Can I spoil something here? The first minute of this game?
I've played the game. So yeah, just give people a heads up.
Here's the heads up. Literally fast forward 45 seconds just to be safe.
45 seconds. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And here we
45 seconds
go. Master Chief gets fucked up in the first minute of this game by Atriox. And it is the most fucking brutal shit that I really thought they were going to kill off the Master Chief in the first minute. Mm-hmm. Like, they showed the power of this super baddie that is they're working up to, rightfully so.
Not really spoilers, but you got 23 seconds left.
Nah, I mean, I think it is. Someone be like, oh, you should have told me that.
Do you think that they should have kept with him? Was there a lore reason that Atriox could not have been the main villain?
I think they're purposely, they want to set him up to be, and this is from Luke Lore. Sadly, I do have to give him credit. Now, you know what? Let's take the credit away from him because we're still in spoilers. So here's an idea strictly from me.
Timer's up. Cool. 45 seconds.
That, you know, Atriox is going to be this big, bad, you know, Thanos-like villain, and you need to build him up to the general audience. Because if you're a hardcore fan and you played Halo Wars 2, you know Atriox is badass. Right. You want to work yourself up to facing him. So that's why I don't think they used him right off the bat, which rightfully so. But
then you don't get that with Asherim.
Exactly. So, like,
if anything, at least it could have been a revenge story.
Yeah, because, like, there's even more, like, so I don't like the villains, nor do I like the boss fights that they have in Halo Infinite. Like, it's cool that they're there, and they're definitely an improvement from what we've known from the Halo series, but I do think they're all rather boring, and it's just, like,
it should have been like Assassin's Creed.
Yes.
Assassin's Creed, when you're every one of them kind of has a different version of it. But when you have like those moments, you've hunted somebody down, and then even that last hit at least has some sort of payoff in the way of like a story beat or a cinematic, even like let's see like that final blow kind of thing.
Yeah, and we didn't get that there, which is again a little, you know, chink of the armor. Not terrible. Not like, oh my god, this is the worst. It's just a critique. Subtle.
Totally.
And now
I'm agreeing with you. I totally agree with you. I killed one of the guys by accident.
Yeah.
Like I blew something up and it just squished him. I was like, oh, huh? I guess I'm done. Like yeah. I just clear up the rest of these guys and then I'm finished this area.
And now here's my biggest critique. And this is the unpopular opinion. And it's unpopular because...
I know this one. I know what you're going to say.
Because I like where they're going, but let's kind of get over how good it is.
Oh, this is not where I thought you were going.
I don't like the open world.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to talk about the pilot.
No.
Can't be your biggest gripe. Can't be your biggest gripe.
No, he's not.
I like the open world. Okay, let's get on this. You don't like the open world? I liked it.
I know where they're headed, and so, like, though I'm not a fan of it, not to say, like, I hate it, it's the worst open world, I'm just not, like, a fan of it, but I do see where they're going with it, and the future looks bright, because there's a lot they can improve on it. I think my biggest problem with it, and I think my buddy Jordan said it, is variety. Not a lot of variety in that map.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It really seems like up until the very end.
Mostly just grasslands. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, like, that literally the second level of Halo, that's what this whole thing is. Now I love the traversal elements because I love the hook shot and hooking around is fun as all hell. But even what you're doing in the open world kind of just seems like I'm doing the same thing. So it's like,
but it's so fun.
Yeah,
I never felt like I was doing the same thing for too long. I feel like, and especially because the story beats were there, that I wanted to just go into one of these underground little things, and that changed it up enough for me. Like, I really felt like I could just, like, choose to go do something different. And if I wanted to stay in the world, then that's great, but I never felt like I had to stay in any place that, like, felt too similar for too long.
It's such a challenge because, like, to me, and I know it sounds like it's such a weird critique, it's like, yeah, I'm just shooting something. Like, I'm going to a location just to shoot something. And I know that sounds weird. Just wait for it for a second. It's the reason why I like Spider-Man so much in that game, where you had activities that played around with the physics of that game. Like, like whether it's like chasing the birds or like there's like the weird like toxic chemicals that you're trying to like the zap in the air. Or when it's like... don't yell at me right now. Breath of the Wild with like some of the physics puzzles, and you're not always solving things with the sword and shield. You have this really cool grapple shot. Why can't I just like chase something down with that grapple shot? You know what I mean?
Swing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. Like whether I'm chasing a banshee, whether it's like, oh, you have to, I don't know, some grip, the grunt is in a banshee and you got to chase him down with, your grapple hook. Like that. That would be kind of cool. It's like a hidden time trial-esque game.
I'm not disagreeing, but like, maybe you're playing it wrong. You know what I mean?
Oh,
maybe
that's
just
true.
Play it right. Maybe you just play the game right. No, but in all seriousness, like, I feel like there's a way that even like Ryan Turfer played this game where he had like two weapons the entire time and he just like kind of crushed it that way. Where I'm like, I just approached every situation pretty differently. Where I think the grappling hook does more than maybe you're giving it credit for in terms of creating variety in how you approach things. You can steal the ghost from somebody. You can grab a weapon from off something. If you're desperate, you can grab those explosive containers and then throw those things at them. Like, I feel like
everybody
there's
did.
A lot
yeah.
of, it's all good. And then
everybody loves
turrets,
it.
Of course, you got to get on those turrets.
But it's a very weird complaint that I can't structure well into a sentence. It just was this like...
No, and I think countering it is equally difficult.
Yeah, it's like my only two options in this open world are capture big bases or capture little bases.
Sure, yeah.
And again, the way you solve that is with someone smarter than me on a dev team creating that in the future, which I know they will.
Do you think like some sort of like, cause there's no, it's open world. I think the thing that maybe, I don't know if nobody in the world has said this about Halo,
please,
but it's open world with no quests. It's so open world sometimes like denotes almost like RPG like elements. So you have like an Assassin's Creed, there's all these quests that you can start to log up and everything. It's not really like that. There's points on the map, but you don't have to like go help this, Marine's wife who lost her book somewhere so that she can go off and do that. Maybe that's the piece that people are missing, that like maybe there could be additional,
because even when it's like fight this difficult boss, It's like, well, I'm just going to use this ghost and go run over Yip Yap over there and I'm going to be done.
I'm trying to think of who, maybe it was, we're talking about Psychonauts. I think we're doing our Game of the Year chat with the Yumi Capri crew, and somebody was mentioning about one of the games where the side quests are better than the main story, which maybe describes too many games, but that might be what's missing from this game. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
And so, like, that's why, like, I'm like, yeah, a lot, and to me, I was kind of reverse of, like, when I'm in a linear level, mm-hmm. I am loving it. I'm like, yes, this is so good.
First two levels.
Like, every time they're just like every story mission, you know, you're in this base, but once you enter it and you're in the tunnels, it's like, yes, this is fucking, like, this combat's so fucking good.
Well, and you could see them trying to, like, there's a certain point where first-person shooters needed to get away from, like, level 1, level 2, level 3, like, because it just is, like, let me just get to the end. And I think even Doom Eternal wanted to get away from that because you got, like, your base where you got to go do all your upgrades and you got to do all the exploring and stuff. And so you could see them, you could see 343 trying to get away from that formula in 5 because you had a couple of those missions that were just quiet and you'd go talk to people and stuff. And it wasn't enough. So you get this and... they're doing the same thing with Gears. Like, it's got to be more than just level 1, level 2. With their biggest franchises cannot be sequential in nature like that.
Yeah, fair enough. So,
I think that's it.
Sean, when someone says Halo is the Breath of the Wild of first-person shooters, does that make you upset?
It doesn't make me upset. I just think I wish people were a little bit more, like, thoughtful in their comparisons. I just don't think that I don't think that holds a lot of water. It doesn't upset me. I do see that there are things that are similar in both games, but I also think that should you just say that the previous Halos were the Call of Duties of Halos? Like, I think that it has to, you have to, if you're going to make a comparison like that, you have to be really, really thoughtful about what you think your audience is going to take away from that. You and I were chatting about this on a Halo Saturday recently, and I think the other comparison that gets thrown around a lot is that we're seeing recently is this is a PlayStation 2 game. And I don't think the audience is pulling from that what the writer or speaker is intending. So right. I just think that that's what people need to keep in mind when they make sweeping comparisons like that.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way of saying it. It's like, I don't think the readers can read the intent of what that author is trying to say, unless their intent is, let me get some attention here.
Yes, well, and that's just it, and it's born out of that, like, sensationalism a little bit. Like, and it depends on, like, what is the thing that sticks out for each individual about Breath of the Wild that makes it a Breath of the Wild type of comparison? Is it the quality of the game? Is it the physics? Is it the nonlinear nature? Is it the fact that there's no story, which there is? Like, I actually think when you really start to compare them, they have way more not in common than in common. So, like,
to me, the way that they're in common, I hate to give him another shout out, but, like, Luke said it perfectly. He's like, they both reinvented their games and how you look at them. Like, Zelda reinvented itself. Their mainline series reinvented itself.
Yeah.
To fit a more modern tone. And
so why isn't it the Doom 2016 of Halo?
And I think that's a great question. I've seen some people actually say, oh yeah, this is what, I forget who.
This
I
is really the Rise like of to the Tomb Raider. It's closer to a Rise of the Tomb Raider.
I'd love to give him credit because, no, real talk, someone literally was just like, what Doom 2016 did to that franchise is what Halo Infinite's done for
it. It was me. I just said it. Yeah, I just said it to
right,
you.
I'll give you. I'll just it give you me. The credit. I'll just give you the credit.
Thanks. No,
but I know I saw it in an article. I know.
I'm God sure. I'm just kidding.
But nonetheless, I do see the comparisons. Both of these open worlds are vast. You kind of get to do what you want. You're not overburdened with a whole bunch of points on a map. And it's the most important thing is it is about the physics of that game more than anything. It's like that grab shot, like that is, you're playing with the physics of Master Chief and, you know, and how that game's supposed to work. So I get the comparison. Is it supposed to be a one-to-one? No. But to me, as a writer or a podcaster, your job is to help the viewer visualize that concept.
Yeah.
And what better?
I think we just did a better job of it by using it as like a talking point, rather than declaring it as this is the Breath of the Wild of, is like, is it? And what does that mean? I actually think that that prompts a more fruitful conversation than just saying this is the Breath of the Wild of Halo.
Fair enough.
I think, well, I don't know. Maybe we're just so good at this. We're just that.
Honestly, I feel like we should get paid.
We should probably get paid. Yeah. Somebody should pay us.
Someone. Like a Jeffrey Bezos. Be like, here is 40 grand a year. Just do this once
like,
a week.
Imagine. It's like nothing to him.
Yeah.
Nothing.
He literally. 40 grand. He's.
Who changed my life, man.
The times it's taken him to get out of a restroom, he's made that money. Really, he sat on a toilet, made $40,000.
Probably sat on a $40,000 toilet.
Fuck, you're right.
He probably did, man. But yeah, hey, I love doing the show with you, man. Damn. I love doing this. This is awesome.
This is nice. This is a fun time.
Yeah.
We should do it once a month.
Next time, I will have a PlayStation, and we'll have a Christmas, and I'll have a PlayStation Plus collection to go through to play all the old PS4 games.
Before we go, what is the first game you're going to be playing?
I actually have no idea. Please, I think it might Asher be Bob
for me.
No, I think it's going to be Ratchet. I think it might be Ratchet.
Okay.
But I do want to play Returnal.
Yeah.
Returnal. I do want to play that. I'm going to see, you know what? I'm just
going to, Returnal
gonna
is going to kick your ass, and then you're just going to be like, this game fucking sucks.
This game sucks. I hate this game. Just terrible. I don't know what, it'll be. I do think like Astrobot should be probably the first one.
Like, I feel like if someone wasn't so adamant of you not playing it, you would have probably had a better time.
No, what I think I'm going to get out of it is more just like, I just want to go in there and love PlayStation more than all the things people are telling me to appreciate about the game. I actually just want to go in there and go like, this is like, I just want to geek out about PlayStation. Oh, I'm in the fan. I'm sitting on the process or whatever the hell you go in this thing. Like, that's neat to me. Like, that to me is the most appealing and compelling part about this. It's not any of the tricksy gimmick stuff that it's trying to show me.
And could I say something? And I got yelled at for saying it, and then we'll go.
I need those headphones too.
I got yelled at because I was just like, I'm playing with the Xbox controller. And this is like legitimately the most time I've been on an Xbox is playing Halo Infinite. And I'm like, this is a great controller, but my fingers are accidentally hitting the R1 and R, you know, what is it? L1 and R1 buttons, the trigger buttons.
Triggers?
They're too high up.
On the Xbox controller?
On the Xbox controller. So actually, like sometimes I accidentally
shoot. You're hitting the bumpers. I got you.
No. Like I'm literally, I'm hitting the trigger a little bit sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. And when I said I like the DualSense better because I don't do that.
Yeah.
Looks like that's the most fanboyest thing you've ever fucking said.
Oh my! No, I think there's probably more fanboy things you've said.
I'm just like
My thumbs actually touch together with the DualSense with the DualShock 4. The thumbsticks are so close together that they'll touch. I mean, see, probably. Yeah, that's like, get those things separated. You gotta keep them separated. Genshin might be one of the first games I play.
Oh, yeah?
A free ass game. Yeah, I want to play that. So take that, Jace.
Honestly, yeah, I don't. I when people are like, I like the offset sticks or I like the, you know, asymmetrical, it doesn't matter to me. I just like the DualSense more.
I wish that they would split apart and you could hold them in each hand like a Joy-Con.
Yeah, I would like that too.
Yeah, you just not a Joy-Con. Just something different. Yeah.
All right, Sean, I'm going to literally go and play Halo Infinite.
This has been the No Fighting Together podcast.
Yeah, I already like the shtick.
Yeah.
People come for the fight. They leave with a little bit of understanding.
No, it's an NFT. That was the NFT thing. No fight.
I get it.
Just to be super crystal clear about it.
All right, Sean, I love you, bud.
I love you too, man. The end?
Mwah, mwah. Yeah. I think we should do that at the end of every episode. We just go, mwah, mwah.
Kiss like my 4-year-old.